What's up, Rockstar? It's Tuesday, January 14th. Welcome to CNN 10, the best 10 minutes in news. Thanks to you. I'm Coy Wire. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. We are starting today in the Big Apple, where New York City leadership is aiming to keep us from driving. That's right. New York City's congestion pricing is the first of its kind in the U.S. So what is congestion pricing? Well, it's a fee charged per car with the goal of discouraging driving. So as of January 5th, driving into Manhattan got even pricier. Passenger vehicles now pay $9 during peak hours and $2.25 during off-peak hours overnight to enter Manhattan below 60th Street each day. Trucks will also be charged fees for peak and off-peak hours for each trip into Manhattan. Congestion pricing has been a debated topic and concept there for decades, as early as the 1950s. In 2007, New York City's mayor, Michael Bloomberg, proposed a form of congestion pricing that was eventually shot down. Those in favor of congestion pricing say it would reduce traffic in one of the world's densest and busiest areas, while also reducing pollution and providing a source of revenue for city projects. On the other hand, critics are saying that it will steer business away from the city, and it's an unnecessary burden on everyday New Yorkers who commute to the city. To ease that burden, the state-run Metropolitan Transportation Authority, or MTA, offers a discount for drivers with annual household incomes below $50,000. For many people, the plan has not been popular so far. Legal challenges to congestion pricing sprang up even before the plan went into effect, though it has now largely been settled by the courts. And according to a December poll, over half of New York City voters disapprove of the congestion pricing plan. Many New York and New Jersey politicians have criticized the measure as well. President-elect Donald Trump has promised to end the fees when he is in office. For now, all eyes are on New York as leadership in other congested cities like Chicago, Boston, and Washington, D.C. is weighing whether they too should implement congestion pricing plans. 10-second trivia. Which of the following is the largest church in the world? Notre Dame, St. Peter's Basilica, Westminster Cathedral, or Milan Cathedral? If you said St. Peter's Basilica, booyah! You are correct. It's located in Vatican City, and the largest church is also home to the tallest dome in the world. St. Peter's Basilica has been drawing in droves of visitors ever since the Jubilee of 2025 kicked off in Rome and Vatican City. The year-long celebration takes place once every 25 years, and Catholics from all around the world make the pilgrimage to the Holy City. So far, more than 500,000 visitors have flocked to the Vatican to walk through the holy doors at St. Peter's Basilica. They're opened at the start of the Jubilee year and closed at the end of the celebrations until the next Jubilee 25 years later. CNN's Antonia Mortensen brings us to the streets of Rome to hear from visitors who traveled from across the globe for the event.
Where are you guys from?
Mexico. Mexico City.
Wow, and why have you come here?
So we are so excited about the door that's open for this year. So it's a good opportunity for us to, you know, to cross the door and see that's all the marvelous things behind the door. And having all this faith and all this energy that we will feel once we are crossing, that's awesome.
This is really a very special occasion for many visitors and pilgrims who've come here from all over the world. The door to St. Peter's is usually cemented shut, and it's only opened up every 25 years. According to the Vatican, over 500,000 people have already passed the threshold of the holy doors since Pope Francis opened them officially on Christmas Eve to kickstart the beginning of the Catholic Church's Jubilee year.
It's very special to come here with my family and with my daughter so we can all go through the doors together. And I think this will be like the only time I will be able to do that.
The Jubilee is a holy year for the Catholic Church, which offers its faithful the chance to receive forgiveness for those who make the pilgrimage. Apart from the holy door at St. Peter's, visitors have the opportunity to enter through four other holy doors that are usually closed as part of their pilgrimage. A very busy start to the Jubilee year here at the Vatican, and it's gearing up to be even busier with 35 million visitors expected in Rome.
Now for some more news on Greenland, which we first talked about last week. The Arctic island has continued to be in the news quite a bit ever since President-elect Donald Trump once again called for the U.S. to buy the Danish territory, even going so far as to say that he would not rule out the use of military force to acquire it. It's raised a lot of questions about what plans he might have for the island after his son visited Greenland last week. With all of the attention on the island, Greenlanders are now speaking up, including Greenland's prime minister, who has urged respect for the island's growing independence movement. CNN's Isabel Rosales takes us to the Arctic island, home to about 57,000 people, to hear what they had to say.
Greenland in the spotlight. With a population of more than 57,000 people and an economy mainly based on fishing, this remote, mineral-rich territory is once again on the top of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's wish list. So much so, Trump says he would not rule out using military or economic action to acquire it. Its strategic northern location and vast resources make it an attractive deal. But Greenland's prime minister has said it's not for sale. And some residents say they have no interest in changing their status.
We have been together in a union for 300 years. We don't need to talk about that stuff.
Greenland is a semi-autonomous part of Denmark. That's self-governing. But it relies on Denmark for its national defense, foreign policy, and annual subsidies, which cover roughly half of its public budget. It also has the right to declare independence from Denmark through a referendum. An independence movement has gained traction in Greenland in recent years. And in 2023, Greenland's government presented its first draft constitution. It's a desire for change that many residents and the prime minister support. It's just not exactly the change that Trump has touted.
Denmark doesn't matter a lot to me. It's just a small country. We can't use them any longer because there are so many great powers in the world. So our partner should be a great power, because Greenland is very wealthy, and we have everything.
Denmark's prime minister says the future of the Arctic island lies in the hands of Greenland's people. And Greenland's leader says he's open to talking with Trump about future collaborations with the U.S. Whether or not that will be enough for Trump is unclear. His interest with the territory seemingly on display when his son, Donald Trump Jr., made an unofficial visit there on Tuesday.
But we're really excited to be here.
But so far, Greenland is standing firm. Its leader says it won't replace one controlling power for another.
We don't want to be Danes. We don't want to be Americans. We want to be Greenlandic. And of course, it is the Greenlandic people who decide their future.
All right, you are going to want to bundle up for today's story, getting a 10 out of 10. Marathon runners in Russia's Siberian Yakutia region are saying, just go, man, braving what claims to be one of the coldest marathons in the world. We're talking 26.2 miles in super frigid temperatures. CNN's McKenna Ewan shows us just how cold it was for the runners and for those cheering them on.
Dozens of runners took to the snow in Russia for one of the world's coldest marathons. During the marathon, temperatures hovered as low as 50 degrees Celsius below zero, or negative 58 degrees Fahrenheit, according to Reuters. The 26.2 mile long competition is no stranger to bitter cold. This region in Siberia has been dubbed the Cold Pole, after all.
Did you see the ice on that one dude's eyelashes? And did that other guy say his liver hurt? No, thank you. That is some determination. Now, we're going to warm it up with a big old shout out. This one goes out to all my Mustangs at Murata Middle School in Stockton, California. Rise up. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. Tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday. Your word can make it in the show and help boost our vocabulary. Follow me at CoyWire on social media. Put your scintillating vocab word and definition in the comment section of my most recent post, and we will pick a winner to work into tomorrow's show. Have an awesome one, everyone. I'll see you right back here tomorrow on CNN 10.